Light in this present darkness. This is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Always grateful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. This is Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. And this week on Abounding Grace, we are studying John chapter 4 and the woman at the well. And let me state up front, this is a wonderful section of Scripture. Such a life-transforming section as we look at how Jesus dealt with a woman who was tossed by and to and fro with her idols and would be given living water and given life in the heart. This is a beautiful section of Scripture. Let's look at this week and unpack the dialogue that goes on here between Christ and this woman at the well. Let me begin today by saying that the purpose of John's gospel, and we've been studying this for the last weeks, the purpose of John's gospel is to show the glory of Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, we remember what was said of Jesus Christ, that he came and that he is full of grace and truth. And from him, we have received grace for grace. Now, combine that truth with what is said at the end of John chapter 3, that the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. All things. So, What a truth about Jesus Christ. He is full of grace. He is full of grace and truth, and everything's in his hand. Oh, I don't know if there's anything more comforting for us today to think about. The one whom God sent to be the Savior of the world is full of grace and truth, and everything is given into his hand. That's the right one you want with everything in his hand. Especially when the whole point of John chapter 3 is that Jesus has become the Savior of the world. He's come to be the Savior of the world and to seek and save that which is lost. The situation that is presented to us in John is tragic in terms of what is wrong with the human heart. It's been correctly said that nothing is more difficult in life than for a man to see what is in him. Well, that's what John is doing. John is pulling us open, if you will, and he is taking us to extremes to show us this great truth that we don't want to deal with the real problem of our lives, with the problem of our sin. So if on one hand, the first person he shows us in the Gospel of John, in Nicodemus, was a religious pillar of religion who needed the new birth, the best of society, in the very next breath, he takes us to the worst of society, the woman at the well, to teach us the marvelous truth and to set these two figures in contrast, that if on the one hand, no one can rise so high as to be above the need for the new birth, i.e. Nicodemus, religious Pharisee, head of the church. So if no one can rise so high as to be above the need for the new birth, on the opposite hand, one cannot sink so low in this life to be beyond it. Two extremes, a religious pillar and a really messed up outward sinner, both having the same problems, both contrasted here to teach us that their problem is the same and their need is the same, and Jesus can fill that need. You see, what a contrast we have set side by side. One a religious head, the other as low as a prostitute. Both thought they were spiritually okay. Both only looked at their problem as something physical. Both were blinded spiritually to what was really going on in their hearts. You see, all this tells me that regardless of who you are, everyone's problem is the same. And everything about these passages in John's gospel shows Christ seeking and saving those who are actually fighting against salvation. And today, something wonderful is shown. Christ takes a sex-enslaved woman. He finds her, Christ calls her out to change her life. She wants to avoid the heart of the matter. Yet when Christ is done, he will have nothing else than a genuine worshiper, transformed by his power, no longer given to that slavery, who has come to believe in him as the Messiah. I love this text because it gives such hope to the worst of sinners. But it also shows what it looks like that Christ has come to be the Savior of the world. How do you identify to this woman at the well? I want you to ask that this week. And do you really see your need for a Savior? Not just a need, what you must know, whom you must believe in. What are you pursuing in this life, and where are you finding ultimately satisfaction? Christ today is teaching that only he can satisfy the deep longings of our hearts that we seek to fill with anything and everything else. Christ does three things to show here how he gives living water. First, he graciously pursues, and I want to focus on that this morning and tomorrow, Christ's gracious pursuit of this woman at the well. We read in verse 1, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee." Now, this is a strange occurrence. Remember what had happened. Last week, John's ministry, we studied this, had created a lot of jealousy because it was so successful. His own disciples got caught up in it because so many were turning from John and going to Jesus, which John said was the very purpose of his voice. Well, now more were being baptized by Christ's disciples than John and his. And the Pharisees are now turning and setting their anger on Jesus Christ. And they had already from the beginning of his ministry set their hearts on him to take him out. Now, Jesus is not afraid of this, but we have to remember what the end of chapter 3 says. All things have been given into his hand. So there is nothing that can occur outside of his will, and that's the very point. He leaves. He goes to Galilee. Why did he leave? Because his time was not yet. It was not his hour for him to be delivered up according to the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. So he departs from them and he enters a region that was of less Pharisee influence, back to Galilee. Why did he do that? It's because, my friends, one of the most beautiful truths is given here in John chapter 4, verse 4. It's a verse you probably haven't spent much time reflecting on. I want you to do that today. You have this statement made. He needed to go through Samaria. The Jews would not travel to Samaria. There were many ways to get to Galilee, and Samaria was not one way they needed to go. But look at what it says. He needed to go through Samaria. Why? It wasn't a geographical necessity. Further, Samaritans were Israel's enemies. Why does Jesus need to go through Samaria? Remember what the Lord said to the Apostle Paul when he was in danger in Corinth? He said, "I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." Christ had this woman on his mind. The Father had told him and given him a divine appointment to go save this woman. This enslaved woman, who was not even a Jew, and according to the Pharisees, was the worst of sinners, Christ had to go through Samaria and be at the well at a certain time for her. I don't know if we think about how wonderful that truth is, that our Lord has come to a world full of sinners, and he, at this particular moment, at this particular hour, had to go to Samaria and save this particular woman. He had an appointment. And the whole path of saving sinners was mapped out for him. Those who were given to him by the Father, he would save. He would not lose one. Not one would be plucked from his hand. Nothing would frustrate that. Not even the Pharisees, who prematurely want to take him out. So, have we ever thought about the implications of that? That when Jesus comes to save, he comes to save. He knows who he's going to save. He knows when he's going to do it. He has an appointment given to him by the Father to save. Oh, that's so wonderful to think about the Lord's wonderful election, that from the beginning he chose us for salvation. So he comes to this very highly religious spot. We read in verse 5 that he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to Joseph. So what we have here is that Jesus is making a grand revelation. The Lord has come in the flesh. He has taken on our flesh, and he comes and he sits at the very place of the Samaritan water source, the symbol of religious life, the well. This is Jacob's well. So Jesus arrives at this well at about the sixth hour, around 6 p.m. It's tired. He's tired and weary. And in verse 7, we read that a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Now, keep in mind, Jesus knows her. He knows everything about her. He has known her. He has set his love upon her from the foundation of the world. So she comes near to Jesus to draw water. And Jesus said something so unexpected that she was driven into shock. "Give me a drink." Now, we can't just pass that by. Christ is going to offer her living water. But he begins in such an unexpected way. "Ma'am, give me a drink." Now, she has no idea who is standing in front of her. He has known her. He has known everything about her. And she can only see earthly boundaries, racial boundaries, and how great they were. A man did not talk with a woman in those days like we openly do today. Add to this, a Jew never talked to a Samaritan. Add to that, a rabbi, which Jesus was, never would have addressed an adulteress. She recognizes this. In verse 9, "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?'" Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Actually, it literally reads, "Jews do not use the same vessels together with Samaritans. The Jews call us unclean, impure, defiled. How is it, O stranger, that you ask me, unclean, as your people have designated us, to give you a drink? Won't you become defiled?" Now, this is where I'm going to stop for today, and I want us to think about something here. All of these earthly boundaries are set up. She has all of them in mind. Christ has, from eternity past, come and planned now, in time, to save this woman. How is he going to do that? He's going to open up her heart and her mind, show her her need, and offer her living water. Water that truly satisfies her soul. We're going to see this week. She was caught in adultery, and she was a serial divorcee. 5 husbands. She was an idolater, jumping from idol to idol to idol and never filled. You know, our hearts are restless until they find rest in the Lord. Are you restless today? What idols are you pursuing and are never happy? Only Christ can fill the longing of our hearts. Abounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Every week we exposit the Word of God without compromise and showing you Jesus Christ in all of the Scripture. Join us for worship, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. Our website is lindenurc.com. 360-318-0429 is the phone number. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.